Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined this morning by Mike Wittenstein of Story Miners. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Mike.
Good morning, Amy. Good to be here.
And Mike has been a guest before. It's been about 2 years, but I'm just thrilled to have you as my co-host this morning. We've got a great show lined up. We've got several guests. We've got Mary Catherine Dean, Scott Reed, and Jim Knight with us this morning. And, you know, Mike, it's amazing right now with the economy and with things the way they are out of our control in many respects. There's a lot of talk about improving customer experience, but there's very little talk about how to make them work better and more consistently. And Mike, I understand you're the authority on customer experience, so I'm thrilled that you're here with us today because some of our guests have a lot to contribute in that area. So thanks for being with us today. So tell us a little bit about the employee experience. For our listeners that aren't familiar with what we're talking about, define that a little bit.
Sure. Well, behind every great customer experience, there has to be a great employee experience because it's those people on the front lines of the business that actually make the experience happen for your customers.
So how does one connect with this customer experience and how is it usually articulated? We hear about bad experiences, but tell us a little bit more.
Sure. When a customer is in your business, can be retail, hospitality, just about any kind of business, they get a feeling, they get their takeaway is the experience they have with your brand. They translate into that into stories that they share with all of their friends and their colleagues. You know that really good experiences can, you know, pass along to a few folks, but bad experiences go everywhere. One of the guys that I heard, Jeff Bezos from Amazon, said that if you have a bad experience in the real world, you'll tell 6 of your friends. But if you have a bad one online, you'll tell 6,000. Too many find out about it. So the employee experience is critical to getting a good customer experience to come off. So many leaders in businesses now are starting to get excited about the word customer experience. They know it can help improve profits. Mm-hmm. They know that the brands that deliver better customer experiences have better economics associated with them. Right. For example, did you know that I think Best Buy has a sales per square foot of about $900, which pretty much blows the roof off most retail numbers. Mm-hmm. And they have an okay customer experience. But Apple, in about 1/15th the space, sells as much and has a much better customer experience.
Wow.
They sell over $4,000 a square foot per store.
That's interesting.
So there's a direct corollary between how good the customer experience is and how good the business is. The secret is to start with the employees. Happy employees yield happy customers, yield happy shareholders.
That makes sense to me. It seems like weekly I have a great experience at one particular spot in Atlanta, and I was out of the country for a period of time, and somebody asked me when I came back, what was the one thing you craved the most? It was Chick-fil-A. I love Chick-fil-A, and inevitably, we always have a great experience at Chick-fil-A, and I'm just thrilled to have our next guest with us this morning. Scott Reed is the owner of a Chick-fil-A. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Good morning.
Chick-fil-A definitely has it down. Maybe tell us a little bit about your story. Where did you start with Chick-fil-A? And I know it's a huge deal to be able to own a store. Walk us through that process.
Well, I was a typical kid, wanted to save money for a car. And my buddy worked at the mall at Greenbrier Mall, which was the first Chick-fil-A. And he said there was an opening, so I went down and talked to him. And then the more I got to know Chick-fil-A, the better I liked it as I got through school and realized that my bent was entrepreneurial and wanted to do something on my own. Chick-fil-A at that time started to build freestanding units outside the mall, so I helped them open a few of those in hopes of becoming an owner, and I've been at my store for 21 years.
So you know what it's like to be an employee there. What were some of the things that the culture or the business did for you or to you as an employee that you carry forward as a manager and an owner now? What's the secret?
I think the relationship with the leadership in any business is the key. I think having an owner on site that you knew personally, that spent personal time with you, is a huge part of it. And then the leadership team at the store, taking a 15-year-old, teaching them how to count change, making sure they waited on my ride, you know, before they would leave. Those kind of things meant a lot to me. And I was an inquisitive kid and thought, wow, you know, let's figure out how this thing works. And Chick-fil-A, I think, is one of the best entrepreneurial opportunities there is.
It really is. It's a great entrepreneurial opportunity. And they're, even though they're all over, there's consistency, though, I've noticed with the folks that work at Chick-fil-A. They're always very courteous. They're always clean. It's the only fast food we eat, so I don't have a lot to compare it with. But in the training of these employees, what are some of the things that you teach them as far as dealing with the customer?
I think what we try to emphasize is something we call second mile service. You've heard it at school. Teachers will tell you, hey, go the extra mile. What does that mean? It actually comes from the Bible. But I think what we're trying to do there is just look for opportunities to do something that's unexpected. First mile, we consider just the basics, the things you expect. The lights are on. The food is there. Things work. But the second mile is kind of uncharted territory for most fast food. That's something that we can do that you may say, wow, I just didn't really expect that. Or they were really friendly. Or maybe they said, my pleasure. There's lots of, you know, there's no formula for it per se. But it's a road you get on and try to figure it out as you go.
I like the my pleasure tagline. That is a Chick-fil-A tagline, right? I mean, or something that they use in their training. Because I've noticed that consistently throughout the Chick-fil-A's.
Absolutely, yeah. That's you know, the language of service has a tone to it, and we try to coach that up. But also, it's just a lot of it's about hiring the right people. I've had a local business owner recently come up to me, and she said, "How do you get these people? How do you find them? How do you get them?" And I said, "Well, I said I think the main thing is to hire a few good ones, and then the good ones will bring all their friends. Once you have great employees, mm-hmm. it gets a lot easier because the good employees attract the good employees. And I think the opposite happens also. If you have bad employees, I think they attract their friends. And so I think if you're looking for a great experience, you have to be really careful who you hire.
I think you're right on track there. And there's a lot to hiring the right people, too. It takes a lot of intuition. And are there any other things that you do when you're hiring an employee? Are there any personality tests, or do you just kind of go with your gut feel?
I think the main thing there for us is that we do it as a team. Mm-hmm. Having lots of people talk to people, no one has the secret formula for picking people. Sometimes people interview well, and they don't turn out as good as you had hoped. But I think the more voices you get and the more people's perspective, especially your leadership team, the people that are going to be working with them, you get buy-in from them. They supported them. They even go to them and say, "Hey, I voted for you. You know, you got to do well." Mm-hmm. I think there's some commitment there and buy-in from them. I think also just looking for, you know, things. I call it the friendly gene. If you're going to have someone dealing with a customer, it sure is a lot easier to get someone who's smiley all the time anyway and friendly all the time anyway, versus someone who's not and try to get them to be that way. It's hard to fake that.
It is hard to fake that. Mike, why don't you introduce our next guest? We've got someone on the line waiting patiently with a call in, and I'm just very anxious to hear what he has to say about the customer experience.
Well, Jim Knight is with us as the Senior Training Director for Hard Rock, the cafes, the casinos, and the hotels. And what's interesting about Jim is that he's got to do that on multiple continents. You know, everyone covets those T-shirts from Hard Rock Cafe, and he's the guy that prepares the talent all over the world to deliver that Hard Rock experience. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Thanks a lot for having me.
A pleasure. Hey, what are some of the – you've heard from Scott at Chick-fil-A. What's different? You've got some pretty rebellious-looking but very courteous folks. You've got a real special genre of people there. What's going on?
Yeah, I would say, you know, a lot of things that Scott said are right on. I think it does have a lot to do with leadership, getting as many people involved. But I think you're right, Mike, when we talk about the type of people that are probably going to work at a Hard Rock, regardless of whatever the business area is going to be, there's something unique and special about them. And I'm a big believer that really unique experiences can really only occur through unique people. So, you know, you do talk about rebellious individuals out there, and for sure, we're trying to surround ourselves with, and I say this, you know, as kindly as I can, as many off-center but talented freaks as possible.
You know,
we do. I mean, we foster individuality so much that we almost, to a fault at times, we're looking for the most irreverent, unpredictable type of person that we can. We want to surround ourselves with those individuals. And I think there's a term that we've used out there that's just sort of taken off. You know, we hire the island of misfit toys. We're trying to hire as many broken toys as possible who maybe, you know, couldn't get a job somewhere else. Maybe they're a square peg in a round hole, but we have found a home for them. So it's not necessarily on the way that they look. We really do care more about what they contribute. We want them to be passionate. We want them to be committed. But we tend to do a fairly good job in again, I'll echo exactly what Scott said. I mean, nobody has the ultimate silver bullet on hiring, but I do think if you can go out there and hire somebody who's going to be a little bit unique, that there's no doubt you're going to get a great experience. You know, those are the type of that we'd like to get.
So unlike a lot of companies where you have to cover your tattoos at the Hard Rock, you can probably show them off, right?
Absolutely. And that's a funny story, too, because as many, again, it's, you know, throwing it out there, I think a lot of companies can't do that. But tattoos, body piercings, mohawk, purple hair, whatever it is, a lot of people don't start out looking like that when they come to workforce because they couldn't do that at their previous job. They wind up finding something about themselves. And, you know, sort of Michelangelo saying that he never really did sculpture or anything. All he did was just get rid of the excess stone, and that's what existed. That's what we're trying to do.
So that's what attracts people to your brand, is that they can be themselves.
It does. I really do think that there are certainly a lot of things that you could do within the environment, but I think just by literally throwing your arms around people and embellishing, you know, what they really want to be and how they want to live, that creates a tremendous amount of loyalty as much as anything else. And, you know, people stick around with you a little bit longer. And I'm a big believer in the service profit chain. I think that high employee satisfaction, the way they feel, parlays directly over to the guest satisfaction scores, and that's when you get high growth or high sales and profits.
Hey, Jim, what are some of the things that you do to onboard the employees so that you don't take away from who they are, but you're sure that they're going to deliver the Hard Rock experience?
Yeah, you know, we probably look at almost every area of the employee life cycle, but literally from the time before they even get inside the building to do an interview, we really pay attention quite a bit to our recruitment efforts. You know, perhaps the ads that we use or the posters, even if it's an article that was really directed more at the guest employees or potential employees, start to see that. And the way that they enter in their application, their resume, we again try and be irreverent. We try and talk about that individuality, but they're still going to be immersed in the spirit of rock and roll, if you will. They're still going to be able to listen to great music, be around people that look like them, act like them. They're probably going to make a little bit more money. We do, once they sort of get inside the building, spend time talking about the benefits that you get. And there's certainly a lot of those that everybody does to try and be competitive. One thing I'll throw out there, which is pretty unique, is everybody in our organization gets a Rolex watch at 10 years. Everybody, dishwashers, housekeepers, it doesn't matter. And you don't think about it. It's a cute thing to say in an orientation. Nobody pays attention to it until after you make it past year three or four, and then they wind up wanting to stick around for 10 years to get the Rolex. So, you know, there's some certainly things that we do to try and touch a lot of the hot buttons that are going to fit the millennials of today. But, you know, we miss it every once in a while. But for the most part, we're looking for the ones that already have the DNA running through their genes, and we try and hit those buttons.
Hey, one more question. I was speaking in Lisbon, Portugal a few months ago, and I had an occasion to go to the Hard Rock there with some colleagues. And I was amazed at how unique yet similar the experience was. I felt appreciated. I was respected. The cultural translation was cool. And I'm 50, and there were people next to me in their 20s. How do you make it work across the different cultural barriers?
Well, and not just cultural. I mean, we're now in 52 countries, and like you said at the beginning of the segment, I mean, you do have us involved in casinos. I mean, if you think about a traditional casino, think about the people that would be in there versus maybe your local bar, and we've got to run the gambit. It is difficult. I mean, I don't want to say it's an easy thing, and here I've been spending so much time talking about people's individuality. I don't want you to think we go out there and just hire the crazy, wild, rock and roll people. We do have to be respectful. We do have to be truthful. We need to make sure that we aren't looking at somebody and making a predetermined idea as to what they would want or how much money they have. We want to treat everybody equally. And part of that, our mantras, which are on the wall, and you've probably seen some of these, like love all, serve all, take time to be kind, all is one, save the planet. I mean, these have been on our walls for 38 years since our company's inception. So there's a little bit of some religious undertones. Actually, I wouldn't even say undertones. I mean, they're really out there on purpose to say that spirituality and business can work together, which is another thing I think Chick-fil-A does very well. But at Hard Rock, we make it front and center that those are important things to us. And, you know, I'm glad that you had the same experience in Lisbon as you would in maybe Orlando or in Paris or anywhere else. We do have to work on it, but if you hire the right people, I think it solves so many communication and training issues.
I think you're right about that. I was in Italy 2 weeks ago, and at the tourist little bureau, and, you know, speaking my limited Italian, there were two people standing next to me, and both of them, in different languages, were asking for the Hard Rock Cafe. And I thought it was interesting. And they explained to me that they travel all over the world, and they collect the T-shirts. That's got to be a coveted item, those T-shirts. So tell us a little bit, you know, you're worldwide. Do you notice a difference in the employees and their dedication in different areas of the world? Just curious, because Americans, I think in some ways we've gotten spoiled.
I really do not see the difference. You know, my one worry, we just opened up a huge hotel and casino in Macau, China. You know, and you think about China, which is very repressed, communist country, who, by the way, have not been really exposed to rock and roll at all. They maybe know the Beatles, they know Elvis, they know Michael Jackson, but that's about it. And we go out there to teach music classes and memorabilia classes and try and expose them to what rock is about, which is a great, you know, theme for us. I was amazed at the fact that once you kind of spend a little bit of time with them and explain to them how powerful music is and how powerful a great experience can be, that they will differentiate themselves. And, you know, that's my goal is to, you know, right now I'm working on 1 billion people in China to understand rock and roll, but we will definitely get there at some point. And like you said, whether it's in Italy or in China or even here in the U.S., it has become really a respite for a lot of people when they're traveling. A lot of expatriates will try and search out a place to get some of that homegrown kind of southern cooking that maybe mom can make. And again, we're trying to be respectful. We want to be professional. We are first and foremost a restaurant or a hotel or whatever. But at the very core, you're always going to have service and music as part of those eddies.
What great insight, Jim. We appreciate having you on as our guest this morning. A lot of interesting insight that you share. You know, we talk about the customer experience and the employees, and what a juxtaposition. I mean, you talk about the Chick-fil-A employee and then your employees. While they're very different, the core of what they provide and the customer service really is the same. Any final thoughts, Jim?
No, you know, the one thing that I would say is that, you know, any company that's looking to go out there to do something with their guest experience, I'm right there with you and Mike. It's got to be around the employee experience. And maybe my one calling card that I'll go, regardless of whatever it is I'm talking about, is just talking to the ownership to say, just do the things that you say you're going to do. You know, culture for me is a combination of values, which is what you say you're going to do, and your methods, which is what you actually do. And for me personally, I know that people are going to pay attention to what you do more than anything else. So if you just follow through, and whether it's you're making a promise to a guest or an employee, if you just follow through on those things, you're going to create a culture, any type of culture that you want to. And, you know, for me, it comes with the employee experience. If you're going to scream at the top of your lungs, here's what we're going to do for you guys, follow through on it, and it will absolutely build some loyalty, and they'll stick around as long as you continue to do that.
Authenticity is a really good backbone for any brand, and I think you've articulated that really well.
Let's move over. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Mary Catherine Dean is here with us from Alternative Apparel. Many of you listening from Atlanta may know of the firm, and many of you from around the world are going to be hearing about it soon. The reason Mary Catherine is on the call is to represent the younger and aspiring brands, because employee experience is critical to their success. Imagine what it was like at Chick-fil-A or Hard Rock 30 years ago. That's exactly what Alternative is going through right now. And Mary Catherine Dean is one of the architects of the employee experience at Alternative. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Sure. Talk a little bit about what you're doing right now. When I started to work with Alternative about 3 or 4 years ago, I was asked to help formulate the brand. And in conversations with the leadership, we made the decision to first brand the inside of the company before we went out. Now you're branding the outside. Let's go back a few years and talk about the wiseness of that decision.
Yeah, I think, you know, we didn't create our story. We just found a way to tell our story. So I think understanding kind of who we were, you know, inside really helped us understand who we were going to, you know, who the customer was going to see us. You know, just to kind of speak to something Jim said as far as when you're hiring employees, because, you know, we truly do, we value people. And so making sure that we're getting these people in and providing, you know, a fun and rewarding environment, you know, if we show them a really great experience, then they even kind of more deeply understand the kind of experience we're trying to give our customer. So.
One of the things that I know about Alternative is that they pay particular attention to how they onboard people. Can you tell us a little bit about the first 3 minutes, the first 3 days? What are some of the things that you do intentionally to help them discover who you are and at the same time to make sure they're a good fit?
Right. We have an internal group called the Brand Mafia. And this group is actually a non-management group of employees. And they're given about 4 to 5 strategic initiatives each year. One of the initiatives this year was, keeping the kind of our reason for being and our governing principles kind of alive in the minds of our employees. One of the things that they do is the first time, the first minute that a new employee walks in the door, before they actually fill out any paperwork or do anything, they're actually led through our governing principles, our reason for being. They tour the building. They understand who we are, and then they're asked to actually sign this huge document on our wall that accepting the reason for being, governing principles, which is something that every employee, whether they're in LA or Atlanta, signs before they fill out their first piece of paperwork.
Wow, that's great to set the expectation up front.
Right. It really just kind of shows what we value, that that's at the foremost important thing for us.
Definitely sets the tone. And then from there, okay, so you've come in and you've gone through the experience. Then tell us a little bit more about your hiring process and how you recruit these folks.
Right. We actually, the referral piece is huge for us. I think last year we were about 50% of our employees were hired through referrals, which is pretty heavy. One of the things that we do is we did actually find that at 90 days is where employees can start to kind of, how do you keep that same passion that they felt those first 90 days?
Right.
We do welcome letters. We have this kit that they receive that has all these different components, a brand book that kind of explains our history and tells our internal employee stories and our customer stories and really helps them understand kind of the history and who we are. But at about 90 days is where we kind of felt that can kind of start to die out, the excitement. So we really tried to figure out, how do we really empower our employees to, at that point, start to become more involved and feel like they're really, leading and making decisions. And the Brand Mafia was one of the groups that we, kind of came up with. So it's really a great sounding board for our employees and has really helped.
Let me ask you, what are some of the things that the Brand Mafia has done that were unexpectedly great from a management perspective, things that they wouldn't have thought to do or that wouldn't have gotten done if you didn't have this free access to the whole company
right. For
the employees on the front line?
I would say that one of the bigger things this year has been really, I guess we're calling it kind of like our green program. So, we had volunteer programs and things like that, but, we were choosing charities and we were choosing partnerships. So the Brand Mafia actually kind of came in and found was really able to kind of read the pulse of the employees in a much more deep way than I think the management team would have been able to do. So they really implemented these volunteer programs, recycling programs, and really understood that was something that was really important to our employees and to our culture.
Yeah, so much of it is about the culture, and if you can incorporate those things, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of companies I know are incorporating wellness and just trying to get everybody on board and create the enthusiasm, because reality is, think about it, we spend so much of our week at work.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to enjoy these people, you want to enjoy the experience, but I do find that companies that value their employees, it does come across in that customer experience. Tell us a little bit, Mike, I'm curious, because you deal with companies on this issue all the time. What are some of the obstacles? I mean, what's maybe the main obstacle a company will come to you and say, gosh, I have a lot of turnover, or what is the pain that they're feeling where they would seek out for your services?
When brands are looking to improve, they're usually trying to say, either how do I survive or how do I thrive? If they're in the survival mode, we take a look at their finances. I usually refer them out to a colleague. If a brand has decided that they want to make the customer experience what makes them different, the very first thing I do is put on a company T-shirt and go to work on the front lines of the business. I start from the employee's perspective. All consultants know that the people in the business already have the answers. And there's that old adage about, why do I need a consultant to tell me what I already know? Well, it's really to get the management to listen sometimes. So once you've got your eyes and ears open on the front lines, you can find out what are some of the obstacles to getting the work done. As a pair of fresh eyes, not beholden to your day-to-day manager, I'm free to look around and see, well, what could be? Or why did you treat so-and-so that way? Or why don't they have that information available? Why not let this person make XYZ decision? Or let's improve the register so that they don't have to do those extra tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Most employees don't know that those options are available to them. So I'll take those back to the management and say, all right, let's make some kind of investment in our front line. Let's talk about what the employees need. Give them something. Show them that you're listening. And that's your quid pro quo for them starting to give you a little bit back. But the trick is that if you can reduce the amount of effort that it takes to do the work, if you can take some of the work out of the work for the employees, they've got some extra energy to do something back for you.
That's an interesting insight, definitely. You know, shifting gears a little bit, because the customer experience you mentioned earlier, if someone has a bad experience through social media, 6,000 people can find out about it. One of my girlfriends recently told me as I was complaining about my Comcast, she said, well, tweet about it, and I guarantee they'll call you by the end of the day, and I'll be darned if they didn't. So it was about, I don't know, maybe 9:30 in the morning, I tweeted about my Comcast being out again. And, you know, I work, my office is at home, and it really hindered my workday. And at about 2:45, I received a call from Comcast. So they must have a filter or something that goes out with the negative comments I had made, which was basically Comcast stinks. And they corrected my problem the same day. My question for y'all is, how has social media changed or helped, hindered your business? And since we like to be positive, how has it helped? Anybody up for nibbling on that one? How about you, Scott? I mean, Chick-fil-A being so large, gosh, I've never heard anything negative about Chick-fil-A, but you probably have employees that it's important for them to communicate the positive employee experience. Any success stories, anything at all to share with us on the social media end?
I think that especially YouTube has been a big hit for Chick-fil-A. There's lots of fun videos with cows, and Lee Hawkins does the Chick-fil-A song, so that's been a big hit. If you haven't seen that, that's a lot of fun. And I do think a lot of stores have their own Facebook page. That's been a big deal that people communicate that way. So I definitely think it's something that we're, like a lot of companies, trying to figure out, you know, different ways to connect with folks. Even this past summer, every year we do a cow appreciation day. If you come dressed like a cow, you get free food. And if you've never been to the local Chick-fil-A on that day, it's there's a herd of cows in there. The majority of people are dressed like cows, so it's a lot of fun. We use that to connect, and we're always looking for ways to connect with our customers.
That's great. You know, I have a cow costume that I haven't worn in about 22 years. I should get that out and come for the Dress Like a Cow Night. That would be really fun. I'm sure the kids enjoy that, too. I know my son participated in the all-you-can-eat nugget thing, you know, the competition. I never dreamed he could eat as many. He didn't win, but what a fun experience. And he invited his friends to watch. I mean, y'all do so many things right. It's just amazing. Mary Catherine, any insight at all on the social media and how that might be helping your business?
I mean, absolutely. With our employee base, I mean, we have a lot of Gen X and Gen Y, so their ability to multitask and be on Facebook and be looking up a customer, they'll actually be on the phone with the customer and be looking up their MySpace page or their Facebook page and, you know, mention the fact that they know they love ABBA and they love ABBA too. And so it actually, you know, gives them a way to connect in a deeper way to the customer. So it's been interesting. But, you know, through our blog site, you know, absolutely, it's a huge push for us. And it's, you know, a great way to kind of listen to our customers and be able to gather feedback as well.
Mike, you're writing a new book. Anything about social media in that book?
There will be. The title of the book is Go Away, How to Stop Your Company's Processes from Dictating Your Customer's Experience. And so many times the way the business is designed around what the managers think is the ideal situation doesn't represent the customer that's coming in your front door. They're never 4.3 people, you know, in the family and 1.4 cars. They're real people, not statistics. And the business systems often don't respond quickly or well enough. So I believe very strongly in improving the employee experience and supporting the employees to make more irrevocable allocation decisions about what the business is doing. Jim said it really well a few minutes ago. You've got to make and keep the right promises. If it's up to the frontline employees to keep them, we have to give them the wherewithal to do that. So I think we're going to see, at least with my clients, more companies making decisions at the last minute on the front line with regard to customers.
Interesting. When's your book out?
Good question.
No pressure here, but we're anxious. We want it. You have a lot of work to do still?
I do. I've uncovered a couple of new ideas that are very, very current that do incorporate some of the social media aspects that you're talking about. So I think we'll wrap it up in the mid part of next year. So now I'm on record.
We have that to look forward to. And then you have to come back as a guest and talk about your book.
Love to. I'd like to ask one more question of everybody
sure.
as we wrap up.
Absolutely.
We've talked a lot about, everyone knows what a good customer experience is like and what a bad one is like. From a manager's perspective, I'd like each of you to talk about something that you do to make the employee experience absolutely wonderful. What's the thing that you're proudest of in your business for doing that? Jim, let's start with you.
Well, some of that I probably touched on. I probably jumped the gun in talking about fostering individuality. I think, you know, probably the two that maybe come to mind right behind that is over-communicate. I think one of the things that our leadership team does is communicate like crazy, saying hello to every person when they walk in. It's really robust kind of pre-shift meetings. Even beyond that, looking for opportunities to have some one-on-ones, whether it's a formal sit-down or an impromptu meeting, you know, where there's some real mentorship going on. I think whenever you can communicate, which is what Fortune 100 companies do anyway, the most successful companies in the world are the ones that have a shared mindset. And I think as long as you can keep people in the loop, people really do appreciate that. Whether it's the good, the bad, the ugly, it doesn't matter. You can never communicate enough, I think. I think the other one, and I think, you know, Mary Catherine was talking about this, you know, philanthropy is a pretty big part of our company as well, not just because of the words on the wall. I think when you can go out there and do something for the community, something for your environment, something for, you know, the person working beside you that's down on some hard times, that also goes a long way. And we don't do it just to get people to hang out with us a little bit longer. It isn't always about turnover. But that is such a great natural outcome of doing things that make you feel better. You know, you put your head down on the pillow at night and, yeah, you made a little bit of money and you had fun, but you also did something to better the world. And I think, you know, individuality, communication, and really focusing on philanthropic initiatives tend to be some pretty cool things that I think our leadership focuses on, and that parlays very well to the employees.
Mary Catherine, what's your take?
I would say that, you know, within our group, trust and really honesty, establishing that with the employee allows them to really understand how much we value that and how much we expect that same experience to be delivered to the customer. So we share, you know, as much information as possible with our employees and try and, you know, keep an open door policy, encourage them to be themselves. I would say the perfect example would be on the phones. We'll you have a employee that, you know, a customer calls in, they've got an issue, and their response will be, dude, I've got this. I'm going to take care of this for you. Now, that isn't necessarily the same lingo that the next product specialist sitting next to them would use, but the second they start to fake it and not act like themselves and not be themselves and use words that don't, you know, aren't typically part of their vernacular, the customer can sense that. And the second they feel like you're faking something, they lose trust. So I think that we do that internally, and I think that translates externally as well.
Very good. Thanks. Scott?
One of my big visions for my business is that I want it to be a place that I would want my daughter to work. We've said that for many years. My daughter actually works for me now, so that's kind of been unique. And I think everyone gets that. Even the employees get that. Certainly parents get that when they come to me and say, I want my child to work here. How do they get a job here? This is where I want them to work. I feel safe for them. Then, you know, things like balance. For us, we're closed on Sundays, and that provides a recharge the battery day for all of us. I think that's been a big, big hit for us. Also, just things, you know, that I do personally, I send birthday cards to everyone. And I look forward to those cards because it reminds me to say something really nice in the card about something they're especially good at. We also give gift cards if we see somebody go the extra mile, even if it's with a customer, of course, or even if it's just making something really clean, which is important to us also. So we just try to have a culture of honor, dignity, and respect. And when we kind of filter things through that, it's a place that people know they're going to be treated well and they're going to be safe. And then there's an owner there that cares, and if something's not right, we'll take care of it.
That's terrific. Gosh, three great guests this morning and, you know, very different types of companies. But when you talk about the customer experience, Mike, I think they've had a lot of great light to shed.
Absolutely. They're living the brands right on the front lines, and it's great to have everybody here. As a quick wrap-up, what I'm hearing from everyone is it's important to be authentic, not only as individuals and as managers, but as an entire company. Your brand has to make and keep the right promises. You want to listen on the front lines and also support the front lines. show people that they're special, connect them to the way the business works, and let them have a say in how it operates. And the golden rule applies as well. Treat your employees the way you'd like them to treat your customers. And that service profit chain idea that Jim brought up is absolutely true. Treat your employees well, they'll treat your customers well, and your shareholders will be happy as a result.
You're right. Great. To all of our guests, thanks so much for being with us this week. And Mike, thanks for co-hosting with me.
It was a pleasure. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. We'll have to have you back again soon. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show.